Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
What a way to start the show. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you.
We all are, yeah.
In the room.
Finally.
We got... Kayla just walked in. We got Steve Silva here.
Yeah, we do.
I'm Sean Roberts. This is your Weekly Dose podcast.
And thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to the Your Weekly Dose, the program is about having fun and laughing.
Like we are at
our co-host right now. Just snuck right in.
Yes, she did.
Sat down.
That's right. We're laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the funny things, even the naughty things.
You know, the things that connect us all. The things that make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
Thank God. And to all our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or send us a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. Well, today, guys, we're really kicking off the holidays. It is December 11th, and we got a lot of things to talk about. We'll be doing the Elvis Christmas greeting, the dropping of the old log, best pickup lines for Christmas, Silver Bells by Steve Martin, and Paul Simon, of course.
And you can always download the past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. Pardon me, but if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. And today's theme song is the Christmas song by the, unfortunately, we have to say, the late, great Michael Nesmith, who we lost yesterday.
Yep.
This one really hit me hard. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. So if you get a chance, please go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark it, and then do all your holiday shopping. It's really, really easy to do all your holiday shopping on Amazon. You don't have to go out and deal with the crowds or anything like that, you know? A couple of mouse clicks, you know? And it's simple.
Did you just turn Italian right there? You're all,
hey, yo. You got to do this, you got to do that, and go over, you know, and hey, and you know what's going to happen is then we get to Amazon, and you're going to hear a... And say thank you very much and bring me my gift, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's going to happen like that, okay? All right. I don't know what. Did I start to do
you
that?
Were going, yeah.
I was going
you
over
were,
here. This, that, I think because I was looking for something over
you're
here.
You into it, y'all.
I was into it, you know. Yeah, because, yeah. Anyway, so we're going to be talking a whole bunch of things today, too. We're going to have some fun today. Absolutely. So first off, I want to find out, where the heck happened to you?
I just followed the directions.
Oh, my God. It's 5 minutes away. What happened? Did you get stuck in line?
A little bit, yeah.
Was there a long line, though? Or?
A little. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you get lost, too?
A little.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Left, left, right. It's on the left. U-turn. Come back. Okay. All right. I'm like, God, he's gone for a long time.
Like, well, you got to get going.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you're okay. I started to get worried.
I know. I saw your text. You're like, are you okay?
Like, are you okay?
And I'm like, oh, that's how you know I've been gone too long.
Yeah, because you left it like at what, like 9:20 or something or whatever. And you just go, she comes upstairs. You go, hey, we got plenty of time. You want me to go get breakfast? Sure. Here's $10. Go. 45 minutes later. To Wendy's. I'm like, what the hell happened? Did we lose our co-host all of a sudden, you know? It's like, oh, my gosh. You know? So was it a long line, though? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that Wendy's is kind of slow when there's a long line. So, all right. What'd you bring us, though?
What you guys get every time.
Oh, the sausage biscuits?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. All right.
The regular.
Okay.
Sitting right there on the floor.
Well, let's catch up first, and we'll get some other stuff, whatever, and then we'll munch.
Okay.
On some other things.
We'll take turns talking, so you guys can eat.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and catch up with each other, guys. Should we have go first today?
Go ahead. We'll let Red over here do it.
Oh, I went to the Stranger
Wendy's. You got lost. Yeah, we know.
I went to the Stranger Things pop-up store / like immersive experience in LA.
Oh yeah, you're talking about that.
Yeah, yeah, it was really sick. At first, I didn't know that there were all these different, like, activities that you could do inside. Because it's, like, you know, I thought that it was just decoration, but it's super, like, immersive. And they have, like, old video games. And then they have, I don't want to, like, spoil it too much for the people who wanted to go. But they have, like, a whole, what's it called? Just machine type thing that it's, like, a whole experience. And
like steampunk? Type thing, or is that what you mean, or?
No.
Obviously, you don't know Stranger Things.
Yeah.
What they had?
Strange. It's a TV show.
Yeah, I know that. I didn't hear you say Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
I was like, well, what is that?
So you were just going off of like whatever. Yeah, but it was just a really cool, like, immersive experience.
Oh yeah, I've got a game on my phone that's based on that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it definitely, exactly like the TV show. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even have to watch it. Just play the game.
Nice. So you said, now you're saying that it's what did you say again? It's
like immersive.
Submersive. That's what I was looking for. So it's like you're in the TV show itself then, or?
There's like five different rooms, and they're based off of the sets, but it's a store too, so like in each room there's different like things that you could buy, you know. But
oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And then there's certain parts of the sets that you can like interact with, and it will like produce a result. I don't want to it's so cool, like I don't want to like talk about it too much for the people who actually want to go, so that it's like a surprise, but it's so sick.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And where, you said in downtown LA is?
In Glendale.
Glendale. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Oh, Glendale. Where in Glendale?
I forgot the mall's name.
Are you kidding? She can't remember. She got lost going to Wendy's right now.
Hey,
five minutes away. You think she's gonna remember where? In
that's
Glendale?
True. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Glendale.
I'm not gonna live that down.
No. We're not gonna let it down. Is what it is. We're not gonna let it go. Yeah. Big difference. Big difference from us here. Oh my gosh! Well, cool. I'm glad they've got stuff like that, because some of those submersive type things, they are very, very cool though.
Yeah, they are. I stayed there for like probably like an hour and a half.
That's not bad for a thing like that.
Yeah,
that is really neat.
Did you buy anything?
Oh yeah.
The light.
Oh, what you need, Steve?
Just tip it. That
you know what? Just go ahead and turn the light off. Hit the switch, Kayla.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
I know, it's really white in here when those lights are on. Steve, how was your week, though?
It was great, man.
That means that he was high again all week long, folks. Pretty simple.
Well, I didn't really do anything except for last week I won my fantasy football week.
Yay!
Oh, good.
Last week, and it put me into, I think, fourth place or something, third or fourth place. And so I'm doing really well. And then this week started on Thursday, and I was with Najee Harris. He's the running back for the Pirates, Pittsburgh
Penguins.
Yeah, the Penguins.
Yeah, okay.
Holy mega, the Steelers, for crying out loud. What's going on with me?
Yeah, the Steelers.
Anyway, the Steelers have a running back. He's a rookie this year, and he's really good. And he's been actually doing really well for me. I've had him all year because I studied before the season started, and this is one guy I went after, even though he was a rookie, because I knew he was going to be in a good situation, and I ended up getting him. And he's done well for my team, except Thursday night, the Pirates sucked.
Yeah, because the Pirates, they weren't playing.
Yeah,
they weren't playing. That's why they suck, because they weren't playing.
Whoa, man, there's something wrong with me. So the Steelers were playing absolutely horrible, and they were down, it was like, I don't know, 29-0 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like,
which is during the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah. They had to bring in the Zamboni to clear the
air. Clear the field, yeah.
So... But anyway, he only had like 6 points by halftime. That was looking really bad. And I was kind of like, I didn't even want to watch. So I didn't watch for a while. And then went back to see what happened. And just as I got back, it was he ended up scoring two touchdowns, one with a pass and one with a run, like within 3 or 4 minutes because there was a turnover. Man, I was like, yeah. So what I thought was going to be a total bust and start out behind, I turned out he got like over 20 points. It was like, whoa, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's really cool. So I'm starting out pretty good this week. It's our last week of the regular season. And then next 3 weeks.
You mean playoffs, right?
Playoffs for the championship. Yeah.
I wonder who Oz is going to predict on that. So on the outcomes.
Playoffs.
Oh, I mean, your playoffs. Yeah, not the regular.
The regular weeks, they've got, let's see, this is 14, and they've got 17 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And then the NFL playoffs start. We play a season through the 14th game, then we use the last three games for the championships.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, we'll have 16. There's 12 teams in the league, and the first six... first and second position get a bye in week 15, mm-hmm. and then it's the other four play each other, and then the two winners play the two guys who had the bye in the 16th week, and then the last week it's whoever gets it all. So
okay, makes sense.
It's so far so good. I'm a lot better than I have been in other times, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Kaylin, are you much into sports or not?
Not
at all.
You never
grew up with sports or anything like that?
Well, growing up, like, I played just about every sport under the sun, mm-hmm. but only for, like, a year or two, and then I was like, I'm done. But my dad's really into football, and I remember when I was in, like, fourth grade, my little two sisters and my dad and I were all, like, when the Packers made it to,
The Super Bowl?
Yes. Uh-huh. The word was just right there.
The big game.
Yeah, and we all, like, played football, like, outside. Uh-huh. And, you know, an excuse to tackle my sister, like.
Well, there you go.
That's what
yeah.
you get for wearing my sweater.
Yeah. She still steals my clothes.
I believe it. That's the thing between siblings, you know. Uh-huh. It's like, it was so funny because I'm acquaintances with the Nelson brothers, Ricky Nelson's sons, Matthew and Gunner, who uh-huh. formed the big band Nelson. And I got to meet Gunner at a music convention. We took a picture together. And then later on, I found out a friend of mine who I was teaching guitar, uh-huh. she actually knows the twins. And so I got to know the twins a little bit better through her. Well, Matthew, the other brother, the other twin, was doing going to do a show and make a special appearance. Because my student Melanie was putting on a show, mm-hmm. and she was going to let Matthew and his wife at the time perform. So I asked Matthew, "Hey, here's a picture of your brother and I. Can I? Would you mind if you know, give him the picture, you know, and say thank you?" He goes, "Yeah, sure, no problem." Looked at the picture, goes, "Hey, that's where my shirt went." So even among celebrity brothers, you know, they still borrow each other's clothes. You know,
I have a pair. I stole my sister's red high top Converse the last time.
Well, there you go. You take my blouse. I'm going to take your shoes.
Especially when I was traveling and I couldn't take all my things with me, obviously, because I was like living out of a suitcase. I would come home and there'd be like 6 or 7 of my clothes just in her closet. And I'm like, "What are you doing? That's mine." She's like, "You left me." See, I'm like, "No."
That's the joy of an only child, is that you don't have to deal with any of that. You know, you know what's yours, basically.
Yeah.
You know. But growing up, though, did you ever, like, play any... You said you played a little bit of different sports or whatever, like baseball, basketball?
Honestly, about everything besides lacrosse and football and softball. Those are, like, the only three that I didn't do. I did cheer for 5 years. That was probably my longest sport. And then I did swim team for, like, 5 or 6 years, too. That was probably my longest.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You play tennis?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit?
I played it for, I think, a year or two.
Nice. Very cool. I think my favorite game growing up, though, was probably kickball.
Yeah.
Loved playing kickball. I don't know what it was about it or whatever, but just loved it, you know. I think I always like hearing that, because you have to use a certain ball, and when you kick it, you hear that boing.
Yeah.
You know, go off, whatever, you know, so I always like that.
When I was in elementary school, we played what we called sock ball, and we'd take a leather volleyball, and then we'd play baseball. But
with
we would
sock?
Hit it. Yeah, we'd hit it with our hand like you're hitting a ball with a bat.
Oh, okay.
You'd be up to bat, so you'd hit it somewhere, and then it was treated like it was baseball. You run the bases, they try to throw you out or catch the ball, or, you know, to get
right,
you out.
Right. Yeah. So it's like kickball. It was arm ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like
that's
ball.
What we called it, sock ball, because you socked the volleyball.
It was
a lot of fun.
It was like volleyball without the technique, so you might like do something to your hand, but like it's fine. It's for the game.
Makes sense.
So. I played volleyball.
For Christmas, I asked for a sock ball because that's what we called it.
And no one knew what you were talking about?
So I ended up with this brown soccer ball that was like... rubbers. I looked at it. I'm like, "What the hell is this thing?
This isn't it.
I don't know what this is.
I think it's so funny when kids have like certain names for things, and like they have no idea that you know, like everyone else has. Yeah.
Yeah. We all knew what a sock ball was.
Right.
We just didn't know it was a volleyball.
It was a volleyball.
Yeah.
Because we didn't use it to play volleyball.
So.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, my week was kind of busy, kind of exciting. Yesterday, I actually got to go in to take a test for a certain position. So I'm kind of hoping I applied for a position at a high school to run their theater. So I'm praying I pass the test or whatever. You know, for it. Some stuff, I'll be honest, I was kind of worried because there was some like terminology in there that they were asking, and it's simplistic theatrical terminology. But I haven't used it in so long. You know, I'm like going, "Oh my gosh, I forgot what this is," you know. And then I was second guessing like 2 or 3 answers, you know, on it. But, and then there was like questions on 2 programs that I don't even use, but they're like office programs or whatever. So I'm like, okay, all right, hopefully. So crossing my fingers, I get a 70% or better just to at least get the face-to-face interview. Otherwise, I'm screwed.
Oh, no.
So, but...
So you didn't know what downstage left was.
That stuff was easy, but it was like, okay, give me what a keystone is.
I don't know what that
keystone?
Is.
Keystone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, what is it?
I'm asking you, what is it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, because you don't know. Do you?
Yes, I know.
Well, but what is it then?
It's a keystone.
Uh-huh.
It's a cop.
Describe it.
It's a cop.
It's a cop. It's a cop.
It's a 1920s officer, yeah.
What's a cornerstone?
That's like under the keystone.
What's a rail?
A rail?
Yeah, what's a rail?
That's over on the fly lines.
Not really.
Well,
not if you're building a flat.
When you have a fly...
Not when you're building a flat.
When you have a fly theater. You don't have a fly theater.
Wait, are they like the square things?
Yeah, the keystone basically, it's a small like rectangular or semi-rectangular piece of wood.
Yeah.
When you build a flat,
okay,
and you staple it onto your sides and your railings, basically.
It keeps the corner square.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there's like certain terminology, like I forgot what a hog trough was.
Hog trough?
Yeah. Good, no, well, in theater, it's something completely different. And I was like going through, I came home and I'm like going through my theatrical books going, I can't find it because I forgot. I knew the terminology and I know it has to do something with a flat, but I couldn't remember. Or a hog through. That's what it is, a hog through. And I couldn't find, but I know it has to do something with how you hang the flat, though, mm-hmm. is what it is. So it allows the rope to come through, but it's like I couldn't find the definition anywhere. I was like, going, oh, so there's at least two questions I missed, you know. But everything else, I was kind of going, oh, I haven't used these. Audio I did fine. Lighting I did fine on the questions and what have mm-hmm. you. So we'll see. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but in the meantime, though, my son's been performing, doing his Christmas carol singing there in the choir. So he had performances Thursday, yesterday, and today. So after the show, we... jet on out and go see him perform.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun. And all the Christmas carols and stuff. So it's a pretty good show. So we'll see how it goes with that. So that was my week and everything. So kind of a little exciting here and there.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well,
hopefully,
yeah.
you know, you get into that.
Me too.
I know it's
yeah. Lord knows I need the money right now. Jesus crickets, man. Because, I mean, I got laid off right when COVID hit. And I haven't worked since.
Jeez.
So it's been very, very tight and it's been tough. So it's been real tough. So hopefully this will come through for me. So we're praying for that. So, well, as I mentioned earlier, guys, you know what? Before we do that, let's go ahead and do our sponsor and get that out of the way and take care of that.
You know, with things starting to open up slowly, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing new signs.
Well, not just businesses, but how about bands needing some new merchandise? Companies needing canopies for conventions?
Well, where does one go for printing merchandise? Simply go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Stranger Prints is the official merchandise printer for Your Weekly Dose. They do all of our shirts that we give away, but that's not all they do.
They do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular signs and banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and more.
That's right. So for all of your printing needs for merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Just go to StrangerPrints.com for information and prices.
Yep, that's StrangerPrints.com, and tell them Your Weekly Dose sent you. Because, damn it, we just did.
Yeah.
That's your favorite part, isn't it?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I was going to say, guys, yesterday we got some really, really bad news, and it hit a lot of personal friends of mine really, really hard. And that was the passing of Michael Nesmith. And if you're not too familiar who this man is, go watch a rerun of the Monkees TV show. Michael is the one who wore the wool hat almost all the time. Mm. Michael was just a phenomenal man. A couple of years ago, we got to interview him, and it was while he was promoting a tour for an album that he had done back in, I think, 1972 or 74, called And the Hits Just Keep on Coming. And he was doing a small tour for that, promoting that. And a friend of mine, Marty Ross, had mentioned to Jody Ritson, a gal who I got to know also, to, yes, please, you know, Sean's a good guy. Go ahead and have Michael on the show. And so we arranged it. It was the second time I was ever been nervous about doing an interview, you know, because this is one of my idols. And but unfortunately, we lost him yesterday. So I'm going to kind of go through a little bit of the accolades of what he's done and everything and so forth. And it's just, it's pretty incredible if you think about it. Musician producer Michael Nesmith has passed away. He rose to the fame initially as a member of the Monkees, but went on to have a long and influential career in music, television, movie production. He passed on due to heart failure yesterday morning in his home in Carmel, California. He was 78. Young
That's
guy.
Not old.
No, it's not. It's not. Infinite Love, we announced that Michael Nesmith has passed away this morning at his home, surrounded by family, peacefully, of natural causes. Family writes in a statement posted on Nesmith's website. Of course, we ask you to respect our privacy at this time, and we thank you for all the love and light that you have shown him and us. Along with his bandmate, Mickey Dolenz, Michael Nesmith recently completed a Monkees farewell tour. Mickey says, I am heartbroken. In a statement provided by a spokesperson, I've lost a dear friend and partner. I am so grateful that we could spend the last couple of months together doing what we loved best, singing, laughing, and doing shtick. I miss it all so much, especially the shtick. It was only 4 weeks ago that both Nesmith and Dolenz performed their last show together as the Monkees to a sold-out crowd at the Greek Theater here in Los Angeles. Nesmith was born in Houston, Texas in 1942. His parents divorced when he was only four, though, but his mother, Betty, supported the family with her wages as a secretary in a job that led her to invent the correction fluid liquid paper. Didn't know that, did you? Yep. To deal with mistakes caused by early electric typewriters. Nesmith also started writing and performing music after a small stint in the Air Force, recording under the name Michael Blessing, and finding some success as a songwriter for acts such as Linda Ronstadt and the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, who recorded a song called Mary Mary before the Monkees made it a hit. In late 1965, a friend of his from Los Angeles music scene pointed him to a magazine seeking four insane boys to play the Beatles-inspired band on the new TV show. While Nesmith never matched his Monkee-era musical success, his pedal steel-soaked First National records and certain Monkee songs are regarded today as the pioneering cuts of country rock. As the 70s went along, Nesmith turned more towards production, founding Pacific Arts Corporation to manage his music and television projects, including a 1979 show called Pop Clips, which combined music videos with commentary from a VJ, which later became one of the models for MTV. So if you think about it, he's the father of MTV.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, because he saw the media, what could happen or whatever, and creates this channel.
Mm-hmm.
And MTV goes, hey, we like that, and took the idea.
Wow.
A few years later, he won the video for the first video of the year for Grammy for Elephant Parts, which was a TV special with a familiar format, music videos, parody commercials, and comedy sketches and so forth. So to me, Michael was just one of those guys where the character that he played, which was pretty much himself on the TV show, was just so dry. The humor was dry. And I just enjoyed the way he came across the camera. He seemed a very natural actor. Wonderful, wonderful musician. And fought to try and get control to a degree, you can say, of what the Monkees were able to do. Because they had a guy named Donnie Kirshner, as some of us know the story, I should say, who was the music supervisor. The thing is Donnie would bring in the Wrecking Crew to create the songs, and then they would just use the guys' voices to sing, and that was it. But Michael and Peter Tork were promised different things. And so when that time came about and saying, hey, okay, we're going to record, they weren't allowed to bring their instruments in. So, of course, everybody at that time was also using the Wrecking Crew, but for whatever reason, the Monkees got nailed for saying, well, they don't play their own instruments, which really, really sucked and gave them a bad rap. And eventually they became a real band. So kind of like, you know, Nesmith is kind of being quoted as saying that it's kind of like Pinocchio becoming a boy. You know, they actually became that. And they got to tour in 1967 and went out, just the four of them with a small backup band. But initially it was just the four of them out there doing their thing, performing the songs. And they did a great job doing it. And it seemed like the Monkees just never went away, though. You know, it's like they went on hiatus, then kind of came back in the 80s, and then just started doing the reunion tours off and on, had a few specials here and there. But Nesmith music always seemed to stand out, though, I think. And it was, you definitely hear that, especially being born in Texas, you definitely hear that influence of the country western style of music overall. And you hear it throughout the songs. So we're going to do a little bit of a tribute to Michael and his music. And most of this is going to be music from the Monkees themselves, from their albums.
Whoa.
So not including his solo stuff afterwards. There are a couple of songs I did put in there, though, for you. So sit back, go get a cup of coffee, and enjoy this little tribute here to the great Michael Nesmith.
Of waiting, finally won the happiness that's all rolled up in you. And now with you as inspiration, I look toward a destination, sunny bright that once before was blue. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me.
Same way, you always wear a smile. You love it fast and you live wild. Short lifespan, but ain't life grand. And he thought he heard the echoes of the many whistle band and the laughter from a distant caravan and the brightly painted line of circus wagon.
should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around?
Blind man, crazy man, he can't see. Sound of the sunset, the sound of the sea. Why do the people always look at me? Nobody here can see that we are you. We are you. She's him too. She's him too. Blind man, crazy man, he can't see. Sound of the sunset, the sound of the sea. Shows how much you care. There's a smile on the wind as it touches my face and starts to erase all the gloom. And the sun with a kiss begins to dismiss the memory of my life without you. In a dusty caravan was a girl of a golden tan. She asked me if I was headed to the east. I politely stepped aside and said I did not need a ride, that I'd rather take my chances with the heat. Well, when she turned and walked away, I saw my big mistake. There were jewels on her body, oh so rare. Had it been another day, I just might have rode away with that woman riding off to God knows where. Hey, hey, mercy woman, plays a song and no one listens. I need help, I'm falling again. Play the drum a little louder, tell me I can live without her if I only listen to the band. Listen to the band. Yes, I see part of my baby. She got to have the fun. Cause she's a Oklahoma back who dance, so watch her run. And looking over past things she has never done, she calls herself St. Matthew and she is on the run. Just one more time, the reasons why you must leave. Tell me once more why you're sure you don't need me. Tell me again that don't think that you'll convince me. Slowly I walk through the gently falling rain, and I know that I will never pass this way again, never wondering why. Teardrops chafing my eyes. I've known for a long time the kind of girl you are, of a smile that covers teardrops the way your head yields to your heart. But things you've kept inside that most girls couldn't bear. I've known you for a long time, but I've just begun to care. Mountain down by the silver sea.
she lived in a meadow by a pond. And she touched me for a moment with a look that spoke to me of her sweet love.
Well, you and I traveled to the beat of a different drum. Can't you tell by the way I'm wrong? Every time you make eyes at me, yes, you cry and moan and say it'll work out. But honey child, I've got my doubts. You can't see the forest for the trees. Now don't get me wrong, it's not that I knock it, it's just that I am not in the market for a girl who wants to love only me. And I'm not saying that you ain't pretty. All's I'm saying's that I'm not ready for any person, place, or thing to try and pull the reins in on.
Well, there you go, guys. That's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
And
I'd never heard any of those before, except the last one, obviously, was a cover. But
that's his. He wrote Different Drum.
Did he write it?
He wrote Different Drum. Linda Ronstadt made it famous.
Yeah, she sang.
She covered it, and now it's become a standard in country music for a lot of women to do that song, basically. Victoria Shaw, famous songwriter who wrote The River with Garth Brooks, she's covered it. Carrie Underwood has covered it.
Oh, wow.
Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals has covered it. You know, so I mean,
like the Bengals.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's become an industry standard, just that one song alone. You know, but you could hear the influence that Michael's had, I think, from the beginning all the way to the end. There was that one song towards Me and Magdalena. That was off the Monkees' last album called Good Times. And that was him and Mickey Dolenz singing together. And we got to see them perform that at the Saban Theater a couple of years ago. And their harmonies together were always just amazing between Mickey and Mike. Yeah, and, you know, again, we were just privileged and honored, I think, to have him on our show and talk about his music, his influence, and his influence on me as a musician as well. Because most of the songs that I admired the most were the ones that Mike sung or the ones that Mike wrote. Yeah. And there was just, and that was, I guess you could say, my kind of introduction to country music, you could say, or country rock, and why I like that style overall. And the stories he told, just the way he did it and everything was just phenomenal, you know. Caitlin, you're hearing these songs for the first time, you know, I'm sure. What was your take on what you heard overall?
I've listened to some of them, like, but I feel like there were, like, a different, there were a few different songs that I feel like fit different genres or fit different styles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked that. Like, I... there were, like, certain ones where I feel like I really vibed with, and then other ones where I was like, not my feel, but it's still, like, it's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, he was just a huge, huge influence on me overall. And I think he influenced on a lot of other people, too. And he's definitely going to be greatly, greatly missed. And what's sad now is that since 2012, we've lost three of the Monkees. We're down to the last one, which is Mickey Dolenz. Aww. And I'm hopefully I can get Mickey on too. I would love to interview him because he also did a record recently where he sings Mike's songs. Mm. So I can only imagine now what that means to him.
Yeah.
You know, more so than ever before. So it's going to be really, really interesting to get his take on it. And, you know, it's down to one. And, even Christian James Hand made a comment about, you know, Michael's passing and everything. Mm-hmm. So it kind of hits home. And for those who are just fans of the TV show, it's kind of sad to see, you know, somebody like that go. But for the music world, it's a whole different thing. And I suggest, you know, pick up some Monkees albums, pick up even the stuff he did after the Monkees. It's really, really good music. And like I said, it was my introduction to country music, basically. So I thank him on that. All right, we're going to try and connect. Let's see. Have her call in. So we'll say, yeah, go ahead and call. All right. Take care of that. Okay, because we got to get this ready. Yeah, this is going to be something that that I think, I hope you guys enjoy it, though, because, you know, I've been waiting for you guys to hear this whole thing. So I'm going to get some music, other music going here, though. So...
Snappy
music.
Bah, bah.
I think one of my favorite parts, though, about when we did the interview with Michael is how he turned the interview around on me. Because yeah. he actually did, because he goes, oh, well, you play guitar too, right? I go, yeah. He goes, what kind of guitars do you use? And he started asking me questions and everything.
It was like
and
a
so
conversation.
Forth. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? You know, but I must say, just like the interview we did with Trini Lopez, he was so gracious and everything. And I do have to thank Marty Ross and Jody Ritson for getting us that interview. It was really, really special and very grateful on that. So, all right, come on. Maybe you should just play Michael's stuff again.
That's so cool that he asked you questions. Like, it shows that he just, like, genuinely...
Well, you know, what was tough, what was... I was really nervous because I knew through some of the 70s and the 80s and a little bit of the 90s, Michael was a hard interviewer. And I mean, you watch film footage of him on Letterman or Carson or this and that or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, they're always going to ask questions about the Monkees and everything.
Yeah.
And I think for a while it left a bad taste in his mouth or whatever because of the way things went down.
Yeah.
And as far as the music control and everything. Mm-hmm. And as far as not being able to get the music out that he wanted to get out.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah.
Granted, he had a couple of cuts here and there on every album, though. But, you know, to gain that power of saying, hey, this is the kind of music we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, that was the big thing. And, but to be gracious and to be very open, I think the way he was, that was the thing that surprised me the most. And then for him to tell us stories about him smoking marijuana, that was awesome. And his friend got so high with it because he put the thing in peanut butter and then had a peanut butter sandwich, you know, kind of a thing. So
that's funny.
Yeah, it was, I totally loved it, you know.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And, you know, but he was, yeah, just a very, very gracious interview with him. And I'm so glad. Let's see if she's there.
He's reached the tail at 314.
Oh, come on.
Wow. 352.
You know what reminded me of when you said like the marijuana story? I remember when I was 16, I went to a Donovan concert. Mm-hmm. And it was...
Wait a minute.
What?
Say that again.
When I was 16, I went to a Donovan concert.
Wow.
I was the youngest person there.
He was one of my favorite singers.
Really?
Yeah.
He follows me on Twitter.
Does really? He really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we got to get him on here.
I don't know if I'm that close with him yet. I haven't even had a conversation with him, but it was so cool because at the concert, he was just like sitting cross-legged on a carpet and like telling stories, like half of them involving like some random drugs, like
yeah,
talking about like him.
Some of his songs are really trippy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you got to be high too to enjoy Donovan. I think that's what it comes down to overall. We're trying to get Casey on right now. Casey, you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, got you now, darling.
Hello.
How are you, sweetheart?
Good morning, good morning.
Good
Doing
morning.
Doing very well.
Wonderful. Where are you guys at now?
I think I am in California.
Okay.
I know. The whole country is a whirlwind.
Wow. Well, okay.
Actually, no, I mean, for real, the whole country is a whirlwind, though, actually, quite terribly.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about all the tornadoes that took place last night?
I saw the news a little bit, yeah, and there was just like, holy cow. I couldn't believe it. It was almost set for a new record, wasn't it?
What?
Five or six different states had tornadoes.
Yeah.
Wow. So the whole tornado alley, basically. Almost.
Yeah, Illinois, Kentucky, Minnesota. I can't remember them all. Minnesota.
Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Did it really?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like,
oh, jeez.
I know.
Well, they were on the snow watch, weren't they?
Oh, I don't know. I know it snows in one of the volcanoes up there, so, but yeah, but.
Snow watch you actually, in Hawaii.
You can actually ski in Hawaii, yeah. So on the phone right now, we have our producer, Casey, of course, and she's had a very rough couple of weeks, basically. you know, for those of you guys who've been following the show recently, her and her boyfriend Mateo, their neighbor where they live, his camper pretty much like caught on fire and went up in flames. And of course, their RV caught a little bit of that. So now they had to go out and find a new home because the insurance company basically said, yeah, it's pretty much totaled now. So they had to drive out to Michigan to get an RV, a new one, and then drive down to the Carolinas, get it registered because that's their home state, and now they're on their way back here to California and try to get here on time for the show.
Correct, and I guess that the winds that held us up last night from getting in town, which kept me away from being at the show, were some of the winds that were the tornado ripping through the Midwest.
Yikes. And these winds were the ones you were getting in Texas, right?
Yeah, we drove through Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona yesterday.
Okay.
And we ended up stopping in Arizona. And we were like, we're going to call it. We were driving like 50 miles an hour. It was like us, and there was just a line of like 15 truckers.
Oof.
And we all had our hazards on, and we were all just putzing along the highway at like 50 miles an hour.
Yikes.
That's scary.
Yeah, and we were all just getting blasted, just woof, woof with wind. And you could see all of us. It was like a big snake along the highway. You could see every truck taking a blast of wind on the side, and every time the truck would just adjust for the wind accordingly, and the rest of traffic would just veer with it the rest of the way down. It was kind of neat to watch. And poor Mateo was driving for most of the day for yesterday. And he's just like white knuckling. White knuckling like you wouldn't believe. Just absolutely focused as can be on nothing but the road. And it's just wind like you wouldn't believe, just like north, I don't know, probably like it had to have been like a southwest wind coming our way.
So,
does anybody else hear that coming from the computer?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I got something for you, too, because basically you were pretty much part of a convoy, right?
We've got us a convoy.
Because that's what you guys were all with the truckers, right?
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th.
Well, we felt pretty comforted by the truckers, because at least that point we meant that we weren't, being hyperbolic about the situation. Meant the winds were pretty serious. And then this morning we woke up and we were reading the articles about, you know, all the tornadoes, and realized, well, I guess the winds that we were experiencing must have been pretty serious.
Well, what I was just reading here is in Kentucky alone, they fear anywhere from 70 to 100 people have been killed.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Ugh, catastrophic.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, what's that, another Joplin, right?
Just about.
It's awful.
Just about.
Yeah, it's going to be another Night of Twisters, right?
I think that's what they're expecting. Yeah, the way the winds are looking, the way the storms are coming in through. Yeah, it's definitely going to be looking like it's going to be that. So, boy, it's going to be tough. Well, I'm glad you guys
are
okay,
but
though.
I know, but that's what kept us away. So, but
well, I'm just glad that you guys are safe and that you're, you know, at least across the or you think you might be in the across the California border. You don't know yet.
We started seeing some signs for what is it? Cal Mexico and whatnot.
Calexico?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
But you know, this route doesn't have many signs for like welcome to California or anything of that nature.
Well, are you on the 15?
Mm.
Or what are you on?
We are on the 8.
Oh, you're on the 8. Okay. All right, then I have no idea where you guys are at. Yeah, because they're coming in a different way. But eventually, you may want to get to the 15, though, because in that way, you know, when you're coming into Barstow, you definitely know you're in California. So
yes,
yeah. All right. Well, we wanted to make sure that Casey got to hear this as well, and because for Steve and I, this has been a tradition for a long time, and of course, the history of this goes back 25 plus years, basically. So what we want you guys to hear is something that's so special for us in carrying on certain traditions from our mentors, our radio mentors, is the Elvis Christmas greeting. So as the story goes, the guys, Mark and Brian, picked up a record, or Mark picked up a record, and it was a special Christmas record that Elvis put out. And on it was a nice big giant sticker that basically said Christmas, Elvis's special Christmas greeting. So you're thinking, oh, wow, he's going to say, you know, happy holidays and this and that or whatever. Just give a nice little speech and what have you regarding it. And so basically, you know, you put the needle down on that section and this was basically what you got.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Yeah, and that was pretty much everybody's reaction to this awesome. But if you listen carefully, though, I think you can feel the warmth that Elvis is trying to give across. I don't know if it's going to come through the phone as much for Casey, though. So we're going to play it again.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
So poignant.
It's straight to the point.
Yeah, they had to make something on the album, you know, to point it out because it was so important.
It was so important. Much.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is, you know. And my favorite part about the whole thing, though, is the background singers. He actually had to get background singers for this whole thing. So if you listen carefully, you can hear them. Yeah. They're doing the woo kind of thing, you know. So, you know, we'll make sure we'll play it again here for you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Yeah.
What's that, Casey?
I just drove past an Elvis sign saying that the king is back, too.
All right.
Well, in that case,
at the Golden Acorn Casino.
Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
The Golden Acorn Casino.
They're coming in the way south.
Yeah, yeah.
The 8 goes to San Diego.
Oh, that's a hell of a detour.
It goes through Yuma to San Diego, so they went way down south, and they came out of Texas and just stayed south.
There you go. Okay, yeah. So there you go. So what do you think of the Elvis Christmas greeting there?
You know, what I really like is how they really let you marinate in it at the end. You know, they let you continuously hear that really nice little popping of the vinyl. You know, they don't let it off soon at the end there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Would you like to hear the warmth of that greeting again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Thank you for listening. Good. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Yeah. I love
the
way
for months I've been hearing about this.
Yes. Yeah. So and now that you finally heard it, Casey, how do you feel?
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Caitlin, how do you feel now that you've actually heard the Elvis Christmas greeting?
I didn't miss out on much.
Yeah. Yeah, let's...
Okay.
Let's get it one more time.
One more time.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Yep, that was money well spent. Money well spent.
Please
on...
Please tell me there was something else on that vinyl besides just that.
Christmas songs.
Okay, good.
But this was Elvis's special Christmas greeting, though. See, that's what you have to understand. This was advertised on the commercials.
When you buy
Elvis's Christmas album, you get his Christmas greeting.
Three sentences.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
That's it.
No, that's two sentences.
Two sentences. Yeah. All right. So there you go.
It's the thought that counts, right?
I guess so. I guess the way he says thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, because it is very warm and heartfelt, so I guess that. Yeah. All right. Well, not only did the guys pick that up, though, but they found another album at a yard sale. Now, this album basically was The Sounds of Christmas. Now, this was professionally done by...
It's sort of a small company that makes a big noise.
Well, Disney.
Yeah.
Disney. But we don't...
That's a description? What?
But no, what I was trying to say was by professional Foley artists. I was trying to find the name Foley.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to create these different sound effects and everything to make sure...
Create the mood.
The mood. Yeah. And everything goes well.
Situation.
And of course, for us, the whole thing of Christmas really doesn't start until this happens. And I think we just lost Casey.
Uh-oh.
So let's see if we can, get her back again here.
They probably stopped at the Cadillac desert out there in the desert where they buried the Cadillacs there. Or maybe the biggest ball of string, although I think that's in the middle of the country. So.
Well, the biggest ball of twine's in Minnesota. I know that's that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've visited the biggest six-pack of beer.
Hey, that's pretty good. All right.
Yeah.
Did we lose you?
Yes.
Okay.
Just went up and over a mountain.
Okay, no worries. Okay. So now we want to give you guys, because for us, Christmas doesn't begin... for a lot of people, until the dropping of the Yule log. So once again, this was designed by Disney, by professional Foley artist, to set the mood, the Christmas mood, the warmth, much warmer than what we heard from Elvis, though, in the dropping of the Yule log. So here we go.
Christmas Eve is probably the most exciting night of the year for children everywhere. At our house, the ritual is always the same. Mom hurries dinner out of the way so that the festivities can begin. First, I lay a fire in the fireplace. I pride myself on the way I lay a fire. To begin, I crinkle newspaper to put under the grate.
That almost sounds like water.
Then I put in the kindling, breaking the sticks into the proper lengths.
Fireworks?
Then I bring in the Yule log and put it in the grate.
That's the biggest log we've ever had, Dad.
Yeah, and the heaviest, too.
Ah, yes, there we go. Christmas can now begin. For the dropping of the Yule log.
Oh, the season has arrived.
It has arrived.
It
is now done. Casey, what'd you think? You know what? I think Casey's in shock. Let's play for her.
I love double entendre.
Well, let me give you the most important part of the dropping of the Yule log.
Oh, no. Of course. <You've
ripped it. laughs>
Yeah, that that was good.
That, the relief when he finally lets it out.
See, what I like, though, is that little cough that he has right before. Did you notice that? Did you notice
Let's hear it again.
Well, yeah, there's a little, okay, you got to listen. There's that little cough.
What exactly is it that the little boy says, like, gee, Dad, that might be the biggest one yet?
Yeah, the biggest log. Yeah. And he goes, and the heaviest, too.
No.
But my favorite part, if you listen carefully, there's that slight little cough that the guy gives. Right here.
Oh, my God.
You got that? Right before it drops. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, there, it's out, it's done. I've dropped the Yule log.
Perfect. Now Christmas can officially begin, according to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and the way it lands, though. You know, it has that double.
Yeah, it just doesn't just go dunk.
Right, kind of right. Gun. Yeah, yeah. Here, listen to the very end.
Now, is this like a ritualistic cleansing?
It's a real ritualistic something. That's for damn sure, though.
Oh, my God.
Steve.
I'm dying.
Oh, so good.
I love that.
So good.
Yeah.
So we can now say that Christmas has officially begun here at Your Weekly Dose. The holidays
so
are
relieved.
Here. The holidays are definitely here for sure. So, you know.
I can feel it in the air.
Well, you could probably smell it, too, if you are careful enough. But now, did Mateo hear it also in the car?
Oh, yes. Mateo most certainly heard that.
Okay. Did he almost crash?
You know, he's a true professional here now. We drove through the winds of last night's tornado.
Oh, yeah. So this is nothing for him then. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and what did Mateo think of the wonderful dropping of the Yule log?
Mm. He said it reminded him of many instances on this drive.
Mainly at the rest stops, huh?
Yeah, him amongst the truckers, you know.
Right, right.
Dropping those Yule logs all along the route.
Yep, exactly, exactly. Well, you know, I'm glad we got you on the phone because, you know, last month we had a bit of fun with you and everything. And the fact that we were talking about the best pickup lines for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we wanted to do the same thing and do the best pickup lines for Christmas. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. All right.
Did I ever mention to you gentlemen that I was voted class flirt in high school?
No.
That's so funny.
That's awesome.
If that was, oh my God.
That's awesome.
I know. Gentlemen, right. We're coming full circle. Bring it on.
Okay. All right. So we're going to set a little bit of the mood here.
Set the mood.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
All right, so you got a little bit of Christmas here in the background. All right. All right, you want to go first, Steve?
Okay.
Oh, no. I can see the evil grin.
Hey. Could you hold my gloves for a second? I usually warm them by the fireplace, but you are way hotter.
Yeah? Yeah. I don't think that one's going to work on Kayla for some reason, though. But see. All right. Hey, Casey. Hey, Casey.
She says no before it even began.
Casey, where are you? I lost her!
Oh, no!
Oh, no! All right. Go through the mountains again. All right.
Yeah, they're okay. Down there south of the Salton Sea.
All right. I'll try this one on Caitlin, see how she likes this one. All right. Hey, Kayla. Can I take a picture of you? I want to show Santa exactly what I want for Christmas.
I don't like that.
Well, hey, hey, Caitlin.
No. Casey, come back.
You want a Scrooge? What does that even mean?
I don't know. Like, all right.
Casey.
Casey, you back?
Casey, say
yes.
Okay. Hey, Casey. Hey, wait. We got
you. Hey, what?
Hey, Casey. Want a Scrooge?
Yes, Sean.
Want a Scrooge? See, Kayla's shaking her head right now, but yeah, you're not. I love this. Okay, is it your turn or my turn?
I don't know. It was my turn. I said want a Scrooge, and then
okay. All right, so I got the next one.
You do the next one.
Okay. Hey, Casey.
Hey, Sean.
I've checked twice, and I'm sure I'm on your naughty list.
Yeah, these are written for me.
All right, Steve's next.
Oh, no.
Hey, Caitlin.
Yes.
I have the stamina of a jolly round man. I can go all night long.
I hate these. They're so bad.
Oh gosh. Yes, Sean.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Hey, Casey.
Yes, Sean.
That's not a candy in my pocket. I'm really glad to see you.
Okay. Oh, Caitlin. I just got some mistletoe.
No.
How about we go back to my place and try it out?
Wow.
Oh, I like this next one. This one's actually pretty good. Hey, Casey.
Yes, Sean.
Let's both be naughty this year and save Santa the trip.
Oh, now that one I like.
Sean, it's time to ask Steve one. Switch it up.
Caitlin.
Yes.
Ever do it in a sleigh?
All right. All right, let's see. I want to go further down here and pick some real good ones here. Let's see. Here we go. This is gonna be a good one for Casey. Jesus. Hey, Casey.
Yes, Sean.
Is your name Jingle Bells? Because you could go all the way.
Oh my God. Hey, Caitlin.
No.
I can see her cringing over the phone.
Oh. Casey, come back.
So, want to sit on the North Pole tonight?
Hey, Casey.
Hey, Sean.
Girl, if you come to my house on Black Friday, all the clothes will be 100% off.
See, now that one I like, too. I really like these knitted ones.
All right, two more.
Okay. So, Caitlin.
You're breaking up.
You looking to get fa la 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 laid?
All right, I got to do this one because you know Hanukkah just ended, you know, so I got to do this one here. Hey, Casey.
Yes, John.
Are you Sarah Silverman? Because I'm ready to give you 8 crazy nights.
You get that right?
Yeah. So you get, those are for our Jewish folks, our Jewish listeners there. So just, there you go. Some of the best pickup lines for Christmas. Try them out.
Don't try them out.
Don't try them out. Nah. You know, the ones that Casey liked, you can use. The ones that made Caitlin cringe. Yeah. We'll pass them.
Hey, I've got a question. Why is Santa always so happy?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Okay, why?
Because he knows where all the naughty girls live.
Very true. Very true. Very true. All right, guys. So here's another special thing for you here. This one is, I got to do this setup real quick because we're limited on time. We may go over just a hair, and if we do, we apologize to our affiliates, though. Several years ago on Saturday Night Live, Steve Martin was on, and what you guys are going to be hearing is basically the rehearsal of Steve Martin and Paul Simon rehearsing Silver Bells together. So hopefully you guys will enjoy this. This has been played for throughout the years, and you might have heard it somewhere else, but here we go. We're going to start it off, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it too. Steve Martin and Paul Simon.
Here we go.
1, 2. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style, in the air there's the feeling of Christmas. People passing, children laughing, and for mile after mile, on every street corner, you'll hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city.
Last night, my child looked up at me and said, Uncle Steve. He didn't know I was his father. I didn't know for sure either. I just assumed I was. I'd had his mother so many times and in so many different ways. The odds were with me. Anyway, he looked up at me and said, what does Christmas mean to you? And I said, Lemuel, Christmas is a time for giving, a time for receiving, a time for eggnog and rum, a time for cutting down trees and hanging plastic doodads on them and watching them die slowly in your living room, catch fire and burn down your house and all your possessions. It's a time for buying things that haven't sold all year long, wrapping them up in shiny paper, and giving them to your friends. Return them and find out you got it on sale. They can only exchange them for things of equal value, like charcoal briquettes or matchbooks with other people's names on them. A time for giving your wife that special coat she always wanted. Those seals didn't need their fur anyway. What do they want it for? They're dead already. It's a time for eggnog and brandy, driving home on icy streets, accidentally nudging the car next to you off the bridge into the frozen river, watching the car sink, seeing the bubbles float up under the water. It's time to sip an eggnog martini and think about the poor, and talk of feeding the naked and clothing the hungry. Time to get Christmas cards from all your friends at Consolidated and Allied and Acme. Time for seeing all those happy children sitting on Santa's lap at Toyland, thinking to yourself, maybe I'll be a Santa next year. 12 years old is not so far from 18. Maybe I should be laying a little groundwork for the future. It's a time for parties at the office with eggnog and vodka. Telling your boss what you really think of him while he gets a perfect Xerox of your wife's rear end. Time for sitting by the hearth, sipping eggnog and tequila, with your feet up on a burning log, realizing that Uncle Walt has been in your garage for 45 minutes with the car running. You say to yourself, damn, Uncle Walt. You were supposed to bring me back more eggnog. And that, Lemuel, is what Christmas means to me.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
There you go, guys. Paul Simon and Steve Martin with Silver Bells. What'd you think, Casey?
I mean, all I can really say is Steve Martin must really have some serious stock in the eggnog market.
Oh, very true. Very true. I could tell Caitlin, she had a couple of cringes, especially when Steve Martin's going, 12's not so far from 18.
Maybe I'll lay some groundwork.
Yeah, I'll be laying a little groundwork for later on. All right, guys. Well, you know what? It's almost time to play the game. Should we play?
Yay!
Yay! What's the topic?
we'll find out.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the new game show that actually caused Vanna White to leave Wheel of Fortune. Quiz me! Quiz you!
All right, we got intern Christopher ready to go.
We are going to start off with question number one, like
all
always.
All right, here we go.
If you need help, sound me.
All right. What is Reginald Kenneth Dwight's stage name?
Who is it again?
Reginald Kenneth Dwight's stage name.
Oh.
I know, I can't get it.
I even recognize this one, and I can't get it.
Sean. Elton John.
That is correct. Oh, good job, Sean. Question number two. In the world of television,
that is correct.
What is ABC?
Steve.
The
American Broadcast Corporation.
Company, but I'll give
company.
It to you.
That's company close enough. Is, yeah.
Number three. We're going through these fast. Yep. Daytime game shows would be played for lower stakes to target whom?
Steve. Stay-at-home moms.
Housewives, yes. Stay-at-home housewives.
Steve's cranking
my. I know, number four. Let's see if his streak can continue. The filmmakers of the Harry Potter franchise had no idea of the story's outcome until what?
Casey, anything?
Do I need to read
its conclusion?
Again? I'll give it the release of the final novel.
Hey, all right.
In 2007.
Logic!
Casey got one, all right.
All right, question number five. The famous actor Charlie Sheen was born as who?
All right, question five. Oh, it's asking for his probably. Sean.
Sean?
Carlos Estevez.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Ow.
Question number six. What is Europe's most mountainous country?
Steve.
Steve.
Switzerland.
Good job, Steve.
I would have said that one too.
All right, moving
well,
on.
Why didn't you call your name out?
Because you said your name before I said mine.
That is true. Question number 7. What is the largest country in South America?
Steve.
Steve.
Brazil.
That is correct, Steve.
Oh, Steve's
on the roll.
Kicking ass.
Yes,
wow,
he is.
Wow, yeah, you guys are real quick this morning.
All right, question number 8. What island in San Francisco Bay was the site of an almost escape-proof prison?
Steve.
Oh, actually, I could trust.
I think Steve called it first.
I wanted to get some.
Alcatraz.
That is correct, Steve.
I wanted to get first so
we
bad.
All know. Question number 9. Why does a baseball travel 9% faster in Denver than another
city?
Steve?
Jesus Christ.
The higher altitude, there's less air.
I'll give it to him. Thinner air.
Thinner air, yeah.
Wow.
Final question, quest number 10. Can somebody stop Steve's rampage? Which stage show, which also became a successful movie, features Frankenfurter and Richard?
Sean.
Sean called it, out it first.
That would be the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Good job, Sean. You got that correct. And that is the game for today.
All right. Sounds wonderful.
Good job, Sean. Yes.
All righty, guys. Well, thank you for joining us today. Casey, you and Mateo, drive carefully on the way in, would you?
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys.
Absolutely. And get home safe, sweetheart. We can't see
you. Bye, Christopher. Appreciate it.
And we look forward to seeing you next week. Okay, darling?
Yes. Thank you, son.
All right, baby. Take care.
Bye.
All right. For everybody else, guys, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we want to thank definitely Caitlin for letting us make her cringe today a tremendous amount. Because, boy, was she cringing all over the place. Yeah, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can find me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva. On Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
I'm on Instagram, Caitlin Ketstever, KaitlynKetstever.
LMNOPQRSAARPYMCA. And if you want to find me,
thank you for finishing that.
You got it.
Really appreciate it.
And if you want to find, follow me, Sean, on any social media, I just made it easy for everybody. It's just simply Sean R. Unplugged. So we also want to thank, don't forget to listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio. You can catch us there, our past shows, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. On Lime City Radio, noon from Wednesday through Friday afternoons. And, of course, we are live with our affiliates every Saturday at 1 p.m. Also, guys, don't forget to tell your friends about the show because we can't grow without you. So help us spread the word about our show. And because, you know what, we just have fun doing it. And we had a lot of fun today with you guys as well. So in the meantime, we'll catch you guys next week. So be good to each other. And don't forget, shop on Amazon.
Happy holidays, world.
Merry Christmas.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.